2 weeks ago, we left off with Akasha. The Pasuk says that Hashem spoke to Shlomo HaMelech. Yet the Medrash says that the message was not given directly to Shlomo, but rather to Achiah HaShiloni, who then delivered it to him. But Shlomo HaMelech himself was a Navi, so why can't we say that the Nevuah was given directly to him? The Rabbag addresses this very point. Later on, after Shlomo HaMelech completed the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says in Perek Tes Pasuk Beis that Hashem appeared to Shlomo a second time. Now, we already know that Hashem had appeared to Shlomo once before he began building the Beis HaMikdash. If the Nevuah recorded in our Haftarah 2 weeks ago, which was given after the construction began, was delivered directly to Shlomo, the appearance described in Perek Tes would not be the second time, it actually would be the third time. Since the Pasuk calls it the second time, we are forced to conclude that the earlier Nevuah, the one in Haftarah's Truma, was not given directly to Shlomo, but through someone else. One final point remains. How do we know that the one who delivered the message was specifically Achiah HaShiloni? We find that later, after Shlomo sinned and was told that the kingdom would be split, the Midrash says that this message was also delivered by Achiah HaShiloni. Perhaps the source is simple. Achiah HaShiloni is the one who actually appoints Yerovam ben Nevat as the king of the split kingdoms. Since he is the one who ultimately carries out the Nevuah, it makes sense that he is the one who originally delivered it as well. This week's Haftarah shifts from the past to the future. Hashem tells Yechezkel that the Yidden made Eretz Yisrael Tumea through their behavior. The Navi compares the two Tumas Nida. Why that comparison? The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Beis Omer Aleph, tells us that Avodah Zarah is compared to this particular Tumah. And Rashi explains something even deeper, that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem is compared to a husband and wife. Just as a husband waits and longs for the day when his wife will no longer have Tumas Nida, so that they can reunite, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for the day when Bnei Yisrael will do tshuva and we can be reunited. The Pasuk says, Vayavai el Hagoyim, and he came to the nations in the singular. Rashi explains that sometimes the nations are described in the singular, but then he adds something deeper. Vayavai, he came, refers to Hashem himself. As the Radak alludes, Hashem goes with us into Golus. Even when we are in an enemy land, he is there with us. This alone is a huge chizik. The Psukim continue. Hashem promises that he will redeem us, not because of our own zechuyos, but in order to prevent a chilal Hashem. If we remain in Golus indefinitely, the nations might think that they control us permanently. But when we see that they cannot stop our redemption, they will understand that their control was only temporary, only because of our chatoim. Then comes a powerful promise. Hashem will sprinkle us with pure water. The Targum Yonison explains that forgiveness for sins is comparable to the sprinkling of the ashes of a Parah Aduma. That is the clear connection to this week's special parsha, Parshas Parah. Just as the Parah Aduma brings Tahara from Tuma, so too Hashem will bring us spiritual Tahara. And then Hashem promises something even greater. V'nasati lachem lev chadash. He will give us a new heart. A heart that naturally desires to serve him. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lama Beis Amar Aleph, says something astonishing. This pasuk gives Bali Avera an argument. They can say, it's not fair. Hashem gave us a floored heart, a heart influenced by the Yetzer Hara. If we had a pure heart, we wouldn't have done Averas. The Maharsha explains this cannot be otherwise. If we were created with perfect hearts, there would be no Bechira, and without Bechira, there'd be no reward. If we automatically did the right thing, why should we be rewarded? So what can a Baal Chet argue now that we shouldn't be punished? But that after the punishment, he should receive the reward as well, because he struggled with his other heart. The Haftarah concludes with a promise. Rebuild cities, abundance, prosperity, all leading to a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. The Minhag Ashkenaz adds two more psukim. Hashem promises to answer our tefillas and to multiply us like soin, like flocks of sheep. Rashi explains that this is a bracha for an enormous population of Yidden. But what is the connection? Perhaps we can understand it like this. Acceptance of tefillah depends on closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Chaim Voloshiner explains that this at length in the Nefesh HaChaim, that the more spiritually aligned a person is, the more his tefillah has power. Tahara creates closeness. When we are purified, when we are spiritually clean, we are closer. Since the Haftarah focused on our Tahara, through the sprinkling like the Parah Aduma, through the Lev Chodesh, it is perfectly logical that it ends with acceptance of our tefillahs. And yet one question still remains. When Hashem gave the brachas to the Avos, he promised that we would be numerous like the stars of the sky or like the dust of the earth. Why now are we compared to sheep and goats? Stay tuned next week.